on Thursdays, we always start with some parsha. So we're going to do a few minutes of parsha on Thursday, and that's why Shir starts a few minutes earlier. The parsha of Ben Sorer Umore is one of the more perplexing parshios in the Torah. In that halacha lemaisa, it doesn't exist, and it's very difficult to understand, even on a drush level, what Ben Sorer Umore is really all about. And the difficulties that we have with Ben Sorer Umore is both how it can be, so we can ever be so certain that somebody is gonna, you know, is going to grow up in such a terrible way that he deserves an early demise, that we should kill him. And there are other issues as well, which we'll discuss in a moment. But you know, after all, the idea that we're ready to say about a child that he's going to be judged for the rest of his life based on how he is at the age of 13 is really just absolutely stunning. You know, I remember last year I was at a Hakhnasa Sefer Torah for in honor of Rabbi Teitelbaum from the Israel Aaron Cedars, because he was retiring and Rabbi Trump is taking over, and they did Hakhnasa Sefer Torah in honor of Rabbi Teitelbaum. So I grew up in the Israel Aaron Cedars, plus I'm a rabbi in the community, so all the rabbanim came to show kavod for Rabbi Teitelbaum. And there was one guy that was just like staring at me the whole time at the Hakhnasa Sefer Torah. And like, you know, I didn't say, like, what's your problem? I was just, you know, looking at him like, hello, you know, everything okay? And he said, you know, because I grew up in the shul, he said, I'm sorry, every time I look at you, I just see the 15-year-old kid. And I was thinking, like, you know, if we were all judged by how we dressed when we were 15 years old, by what our haircuts were like when we were 15 years old, by how we spent our time when we were 15 years old, and that would be patently unfair. That would be, it would be absurd. Obviously, a person develops, a person changes, a person grows, a person becomes, right? That's, who said the line recently, that I'm not a human being, I'm a human becoming. And that should always be the goal, that we're always developing. So that part of Ben Sorer Umore, the idea that we're willing to judge him right now based on the future is almost an unanswerable question. However, Chazal do tell us that Ben Sorer Umore is lo hayav lo asadiyos, it can never happen, but there are certain things that we're obviously supposed to learn from it. There are certain lessons that we're obviously supposed to derive from it. And most of the lessons you hear about Ben Sorer Umore are lessons of chinuch. Einen shomea b'kol aviv b'kol imo, right? The famous word the Bali Musa say, it doesn't say b'kol aviv imo. It says b'kol aviv b'kol imo. Two different kolos. And when there are two different kolos, the av and the aim have different kolos that they're giving him different messages from each other. So that's a recipe for disaster. But Chazal also tell us that nidon al shem sofo, that you shouldn't be so bothered by the fact that we're punishing the Ben Sorer Umore, because even though his crimes aren't really that great, nidon al shem sofo, we know that eventually his crimes will become that great. We know that eventually he's going to be omid b'parashas drachim, and he's going to be melastimus abrios, and he's likely to murder somebody. So for this, he's going to be a god of and a murderer, so we might as well take care of him now so that he not be a menace to society. That's how Chazal explained the idea that we're willing to kill him. Here are a couple of basic questions on that idea of Nidon al Shem Sofo. First of all, the Sofo that the Torah predicts for this juvenile delinquent is that he will be melastim es habrios, right? He will ultimately, because of his life as a bandit, ultimately he might murder somebody. So let me ask you, what do you do to someone who actually murders somebody? What if you were to actually commit murder? So misasa b'chenek, right? He's chayv chenek. And what if he commits mass murder? He's a son of Sam or whatever. He just runs around the city murdering people. Still, misasa b'chenek. And yet what does Ben Sorer Umore get? Skila. So even if you want a taina, nidon al shem sofo, like Chazal tell us, that we're going to punish him now for what will happen to him in the future, for what he will do in the future, it doesn't really make sense that he should be punished so severely. That only explains why we're willing to punish him right now, but not why we're willing to punish him so severely right now. If he were to actually do it, he wouldn't even be chayav skila, and yet we're giving him skila for this right now. Furthermore, a second problem over here is that if one were to ask whether the Torah judges us based on what we have done or based on where we are right now, what we will do, you know, based on what, I'm sorry, the way to say it is based on what we have done, meaning where we are right now, or based on what we will do, based on things that have not yet happened, So it's pretty clear, based on Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezvav, that we are judged by Asher Hu Shem, based on where we are at this point in our lives, and not based on where we are projected to be years down the line from now. Because the Gemara talks about Yishmael, that Yishmael was judged by Asher Hu Shem and not Al Shem Sofo, and that's why he had the episode with Yishmael that Rabbi Penner spoke about yesterday, that he had this miraculous event happen where his life was saved, and the water appears in the middle of the desert, because at that point, even though Yishmael is going to cause a lot of grief to Klal Yisrael, but at that point, that grief has not yet been caused. So why is it that Ben Sora Mora is punished Al Shem Sofo, whereas Yishmael, who was a pretty bad Ben also, and also came very close to committing murder already at that point, so yet he's Nidon Basher Husham, as he is right now, and he didn't deserve to die, Basher Husham. And then a final issue for consideration. Rashi tells us that there is a Smichus HaParshios between Yefas Torah and Ben Sora Mora. Why? To show that there's a connection, that if a person gives into his Yetzer Hara and takes for himself a Yefas Torah, then you know that one day he's going to have a child who's a Ben Sora Mora. So that's wonderful, a beautiful explanation of the connection between Yefas Torah and Ben Sora Mora. One little problem, those two parshios are not really samuch to each other. There's another couple of psukim in between those two parshios, and that is about Yerushas Ben HaBechor. That a Ben HaBechor, even if he's the Ben HaSenua, the Ben HaBechor gets Pishnayim from the other children. So why is it that the Ben HaBechor is put right in between those two parshios? So again, three questions for consideration. Question number one, how could it be that Ben Sora Mora's Nidon Al Shem Sofo, even the Sofo that we predict for him, should not warrant a Chiyuv Skila? Question number two, the famous stira between Ben Sora Mora and Yishmael. The Ben Sora Mora is Al Shem Sofo, and Yishmael is Ba'asher Husham. And then question number three, what's Rashi darshaning, the juxtaposition of Yefas Tawar and Ben Sora Mora? There's another halacha that's stuck in between, and that is about Yerushas Pishnayim. So I saw last year that Rav Yerucham Olshin Shlita, the Rashiva in one of the four Rashi Yeshiva in Beis Medrash Kavoa, it's a Yeshiva in Lakewood. So Rav Yerucham quotes from Rav Aaron Cutler. Whenever Rav Yerucham quotes the Rosh Yeshiva, so I wasn't sure. He said the Rosh Yeshiva said, and I found it in Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, so I figured it's Rav Aaron Cutler, because it could have been Rav Shner, or it could have been any of his co-Rosh Yeshiva. But he wasn't referring to Rav Shner, who I think was his father-in-law. Is that correct? I don't know. But I asked Rav Yerucham's Gabbai, when he says the Rosh Yeshiva, he means Rav Aaron. He says, yeah, he always means Rav Aaron. So he was quoting from Rav Aaron Cutler that the phrase Nidon Al Shem Sofer, Rav Aaron Cutler said, is misunderstood. He said it does not mean that he's punished for what he's going to do in the future, for his actions that he will do in the future, for the averos that he will do in the future. Because if you think about it, let's say a person attempts murder, let's say. Let's say if a person tries to kill people, he's just not very good at what he does. So he never actually successfully has killed anybody. But he tries all the time. He just has terrible aim. He got himself a gun and everything, but he just has terrible aim. So is he chayv chenek for attempted murder? No, he's not even chayv chenek for attempted murder. So it's not mistaver that the fact that we're going to predict that this guy, that this child, is one day going to want to murder somebody and maybe be successful, maybe not, that we're already going to punish him. You're not even chayv for an attempted crime. If you didn't do something, you're not chayv. Normally when we punish people for a crime that was done, for a maisa aveira that was done. That is not what's going on by Ben Sora Mora. This is a unique and exceptional case in the Torah, in that it's the only onesh in the Torah that's not about an avera that the person had done. Nidon al Shem Sofo, says Rav Aaron Cutler, means that he's not judged for his actions at all. Not actions that he did do, nor actions that he will do. He is being judged for the kind of person that he has become. He is being judged for who he is. And very often, who a person is going to determine what he's going to do next and how he's going to live his life in the future, how a person defines himself. And that's the Chiddush of Ben Sora Mora, that at such a young age, he's already labeled himself. He's already labeled himself as someone who is a criminal, as someone who's going to live a life of crime. Now, whenever you're punishing someone for an Aveira, we assume, the Gemara Masechta Sota says, Ein Adam Chotei Elam Kein Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus. A person sins because he's acting out of his mind. He became a shota. He became a crazy person for those few moments that he did the Aveira. What does that mean, Ruach Shtus? It means that he wasn't being himself. He himself, he's a Kadosh Ritar, he's a Jew with a Neshama Tahora, and he only wants to do Ratzon Hashem. Elamai, he also has the Yetzer Hara, today's Dav Yomi, Oili Mi Yotzri, Oili Mi Yitzri, that it's a constant battle, that a person has the Yetzer Hara, so it's very difficult to always overcome the Yetzer Hara. But when he gives in to the Yetzer Hara, that's not who he is. The Ben Sora Mora, that is who he is. That's what he has become, that's what he is. And therefore, we can answer all of the questions that we began with. The reason that a Ben Sora Mora gets punished more than an actual murderer is that a murderer gets punished for an action, no matter how heinous, no matter how horrible it is. It's an action. It's a Maisa Aveira that he's getting punished for. Since that is not what the Ben Sora Mora is getting punished for, he's getting punished for something that on a certain level is much worse than any Maisa Aveira. Worse than doing any particular Maisa Aveira is when someone does a Maisa Aveira and you think, yeah, that sounds right. That's him. That's true to form. You know, sometimes like when there's someone commits a terrible crime and on the news they interview the neighbors. So sometimes the neighbors say, I never would have imagined. He's such a gentle man. I never would have imagined that he would drown all of his children in the bathtub and then shoot his wife. And I never saw that coming. And other times they say, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, he used to, you know, whatever. You know, that. So when they say, oh yeah, that makes sense, that's the Ben Sora Mora. That it fits who he has become. It's not some unfortunate blip on the screen. It's a reflection of his essence. And that's the difference between Yishmael and the Ben Sora Mora. Yishmael at the moment was still a tzaddik. Anything he does in the future is not a reflection of who he was at that moment. So he's not going to be judged based on his future actions. But the fact that the Ben Sora Mora is self-melastim as a brios, it's not about that maisa. It's that right now it makes sense that he will be melastim as a brios. Right now it makes sense that that's where he's headed. So because of what he has become, he's going to get punished. And maybe that's why the parsha of Bechor is also dropped in the middle. The message of a Bechor getting pishnayim, l'chora, is that the Bechor sets a tone for the rest of the family. You know, sometimes you hear people say, oh, the kids in that family, they're such gems, or they're all, you know, they're all crazy, or they're all tzatzkos, they're all this, you know, everyone has, you know, and it's unfair. It's unfair to package all of the children in a family in a single unit. It's unfair, but often it's true, right? Meaning very often you do find that that people follow a similar path. And a lot of that has to do with the Bechor. I always thought that because my parents did such a good job raising my older brother, so that made it easier. It must have made it easier to raise the rest of us because we had a Ben Torah as a role model who was in our generation, our age bracket, who was who we could see ourselves becoming in another few years. So that I'm still trying to catch up, and that doesn't help when he's still racing 1,000 miles faster than I. But you can understand that sets a tone for the family. The Bechor does not get pishnayim based on what he does, but based on how he determines who the family is by his example, by who he is, and that fits very beautifully with what a Ben Sora Mora is all about. And maybe the idea of working on how we define ourselves rather than on specific actions is a proper way to approach the avoda of Chodesh Elul and the avoda of tshuva. You know, we have these, you know, if we were to look at our spiritual personalities, it's like a boat that has like a bunch of holes. We could sit there trying to plug all the holes in the boat. We have this avera, that avera, this problem, that, and try to plug all of the holes. Or we could rethink who we are. We could rethink, you know, is my issue that I don't do enough chesed, or is the issue that I'm really just not a Baal Chesed, and I never thought of myself as a Baal Chesed? Someone was asking about a shidduch recently to Rav Naftali Yeager, Rashid and Shayashiv, and someone asked about the boy's family, and Rav Yeager said that this is a family that did chesed before it was popular to do chesed, before it was something that, meaning that's what they are. They're a chefza shel chesed, and therefore it makes sense. Everything else is going to fit in. You know, I'll tell you just as you know, as a shul rabbi for the last 16 years. Sometimes people will say you can't run this campaign to try to raise money because it's going to take money away from whatever. You know, how can you raise money for tzedakah to help a struggling family? It's going to take away money from the shul that the shul needs to survive, or vice versa, right? And what we find is that's not at all an accurate cheshbon. People are givers, and then there are people that aren't givers. And once a person becomes a giver, they're happy to give more. They give as much as they can. I can't tell you how many times I had to reach out to someone to ask for some tzedakah, and they, for the first time, when a rabbi calls them and says, you know, there's a family that's struggling, maybe you could help out, they started to think of themselves differently. They started to think of themselves as givers. And now they're reaching out to me. How do I help? You know, is there any other family that needs help? Is there anything that I... Because once you change how you define yourself, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, when we started the Smichas Chaver program in my shul, so I was wondering who's going to come, and I didn't think anyone would come. It turns out a lot of people did come, but many of the people who come were the people who are already doing Daf Yomi. And when this past cycle Daf Yomi started Brachas Daf Beis, many of the people who picked up Daf Yomi were the people who were already doing Smichas Chaver. Why? Because those are the learners. Those are the people who learn. And it's not about, you know, if I'm learning now, then I'm not going to be able to learn later. When you define yourself as a learner, you will find more opportunities to learn. It's all about self-definition. How many times someone has told me that he picked up Daf Yomi, and now he learns Mishnayos on his lunch break. And now he attends shiurim because he's more into Torah. He's more into learning. So much of the avodah of tshuva is not only focusing on particular issues, particular chesronos, whether it be in midos or mitzvos and averos, mitzvos that we fail to do, averos that we do too often, but it's also in redefining ourselves. And that I'm not just going to focus more on my davening. I'm going to be a person who cares about davening, and that will likely lead me to come early, to daven slowly, to feel connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam during tefillah, to be rooting not for the quickest davening, but for the most meaningful kind of davening. And that's a major part of the avodah, to be the opposite, so to speak, of a ben Sora Ramona. Okay.